Hello and welcome to this podcast on reading at university. My name is Naomi and I work in the skills team in the library. I'm joined for this podcast by Holly, who is the library's repository and open access librarian. We'll talk just a little bit first about reading for university, so, and how that might differ from other types of reading. And this is particularly thinking if you haven't started university or if you've yet or you're just starting your course, how to make that adjustment towards developing the skills for reading for university rather than other types of reading that you might have done. So in terms of how is it different? How is reading for university different from other types of reading? And the first thing that I've noted when I've thought about this is that you need to read it, but you also need to understand it. A lot of the reading that we might do outside of this context will be for different purposes. So you read for pleasure, you might read a newspaper, you might read things online, and all those things are for different reasons and you need different skills to do it. But when you're reading for university, you do need to be able to understand what you're reading as well. Did you find that when you went to university, Holly, did you find you made that adjustment easily, do you think?
I think in the first year I struggled a bit with it, to be honest, particularly in relation to accessing journal articles and things like that. You know, before I started university, I didn't necessarily know what a journal article was, or that type of thing would be something that I'd need to engage with to do a research, yeah, or a university degree. And like you say, it is quite a different thing, because you might really enjoy the topic, the course that you're on, but there might be certain elements of that course that are perhaps more difficult to grasp than others. So, you know, when you say you need to read, but you also need to understand, I think that can be quite problematic on the course that you're on.
I certainly used to find when I was reading something at university, I'd be sat there reading it and then I'd stop and I'd think, I have no idea what I've just written or what I've just read. You know, I need to go back and read that properly. Yeah. Very easy to slip into not reading something properly and then think, you know what, I've sat and I've read that and I couldn't tell you what it was that I've read. So it's very, you have to be thinking as well as reading, I think, whilst you're doing it.
Yeah, I think, you know, when I did an English degree and I had to do a critical theory module, which was incredible.
You've done loads of reading.
Yes, I did so much reading. You know, sometimes we'd have to read two texts a week plus other, you know, sort of secondary literature. And I remember reading critical theory and some of the stuff was so complex that I used to read a more accessible text to try and get the ideas and understand the ideas. And some of the lecturers will probably kill me for saying this, but I used to go to Wikipedia.
Yeah.
You know, look up the complex terms, just because it was such a much more accessible way of understanding these different theories. And then, you know, it really helped me understand and appreciate what it was that I was reading. Like you say, like you just said, sometimes you read something and think, I've no idea what this means. But then if you go off and find something a bit more accessible, but talking about the same things, it can really help, I think, develop your understanding.
Yes, sometimes you need a certain level of understanding of the topic and then you can go back to what you were reading and then now it makes sense because you've got that base level.
Absolutely.
Ready to understand what more detailed stuff.
Yeah, I agree. That's, you know, some things you just get, some things you just need a bit more clarity on, don't you? So
yeah. So I thought we'd talk just about two different types of academic source. There's obviously lots and lots of different academic sources, and which ones people will look at and will use will depend very much on their course. So I thought we'd just talk about two in the scope of this podcast. So academic textbooks and academic journals. And academic textbooks are really interesting because they look very familiar. Well, they often, depends what size they are, but they look familiar. A book, a physical print book looks like a book. So physical print academic textbook looks like a physical print book that you might read for pleasure. but they're actually very different. Again, it's not the same as reading a book for pleasure. And I think a really key point to make is that you shouldn't put pressure on yourself to read that book cover to cover. Because that's often, that's not how they're designed to be read often, is it, Holly?
No. And, you know, that will probably drive you insane if you try to read it cover to cover, unless it's something that you're, you know. I mean, I've got a lot of books, textbooks that I kept from my degree, and I can see one now on my bookshelf, which is A Companion to Romanticism, you know, poetry, romantic poetry. But yeah, I would never have ever contemplated reading that cover to cover because it's something like, you know, 2,000 pages long. And I think the whole thing on a degree is that you're dipping in and out of different resources. You know, so with what I always did with textbooks was I'd either, if it was a particular theme, I'd look that theme, see if there's any chapters relating to that theme. And this might be a bit old fashioned, but I always used to go to the index and look up at keywords in the back of a book. Because you might, that might just alert you to a few pages within that text, and you never know, there could be something there which, you know, really is just what you're looking for.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think the textbook, it, obviously it's a fantastic resource, but it's, yeah, it's way too much information in one to look at it from, you know, front to back.
Yeah, and of course now we've got this huge rise in ebooks. So an ebook, an electronic version of a book, is even easier to search because they've got search boxes, so you can pop in your keyword and find all the times it appears in the text.
Yeah,
so that can be really helpful.
It can be, but I think, you know, you definitely need to just think about, like we just said, keywords, key themes. Because otherwise you can start getting overwhelmed, I think, by textbooks.
So the other source type that I thought we'd talk about was academic journals. And these, again, they come in a wide variety of different formats, don't they? You can have all sorts of different kinds of academic journals, depending on all kinds of factors. But would you say, this is me, a non-librarian, asking you, a librarian, this kind of question. Yeah. Do they all have abstracts?
In the majority, yes. I have seen some that don't have abstracts, but it's kind of classed as a journal because it's produced in a journal, but the actual product itself is more like maybe a book review or something. So it doesn't have an abstract, but I think, 99% of the time you're going to have that abstract, because otherwise, because it just synthesizes the research, doesn't it, in that one paragraph.
Yeah. It's a summary of what the article says, like the blurb on the back of a book.
Yeah.
Almost.
Fundamentally, yeah.
And I certainly found when I was studying, very often that's all I read. That's all I needed to read was the abstract. Exactly. And if I could get the information I needed from that, then I didn't read the whole article.
Yeah, I mean, the abstract, you read that, won't you, and then you'll think, right, this is for me or it's not for me, you know, straight away. That's going to give you the information that you need, whether you need to read more of the article or whether you can just discard it. But yeah, I think academic journals abstracts kind of give you, well, it gives you the overview, doesn't it, of the article.
Yeah,
so if you didn't have that, it would be a lot more difficult.
Yes, definitely, because you would have to start reading the whole thing. And again, then within that journal article, you can often find different sections. And when you're studying at university, you might be mirroring this in the assignments that you're writing. But certainly if it's a research article where research has happened, you'll generally have a methodology section where the authors talk about how they did their research. You'd have a results section where they talk about the results that they found, an analysis section where they think about what that might mean. And then a conclusion where they conclude their ideas. I always get, I tended to be tricked into going to the results section because I think, I have to say, I have never found a methodology section interesting. Depending on what you're studying, that might be a really, really key section of a journal article, but I've never bothered with methodologies. I suppose when you're being critical, you need to think about all these things as well. But anyway, I've never found it interesting, the methodology. And I go straight to the results. But actually, sometimes the results can be quite technical and often they involve statistics and things like that. So actually, I find the analysis the most useful, where they're actually talking about those results and what they mean.
But yeah, when I was kind of studying, I'd always go for the abstract and the conclusion, really. I think a lot of the time, the conclusion can kind of just summarizes the whole document, really. And you can think to yourself, well, that's something that is going to be useful or it's not going to be useful. But I must say, I think I read a lot of journal articles in their entirety. Just because what I was studying was so interesting, you know.
Yes, I was talking earlier about how it's not the same as reading for pleasure, but actually, hopefully, we're all enjoying our studies, so hopefully it is reading for pleasure, but not the same as reading fiction, maybe I should say.
No. So maybe don't read a textbook cover to cover, but read your academic journal from start to finish.
Thank you very much to Holly for joining us, and thank you to you for joining us. One of the best things that you can do to improve your reading skills, particularly reading at university, is to practice. Practice reading these types of things, academic textbooks, academic journal articles. One of the ways that you can do this, particularly before you start your studies with us, is by reading open access resources. These are academic resources that are freely available without needing to register, without needing to pay for. Open access resources will be the topic of our next podcast, which is available now.